It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents shine, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Man, it's so close you can almost taste it at this point. The work week's done, right? You're either on your way home from work, or you're already home from work. And now we just anxiously await what tomorrow will be like. I encourage you, Chiefs fans, sleep in tomorrow, shorten your day, and then you wake up and it's Super Bowl Sunday. I know I'm at a point now. Yesterday I was talking on the show with our producer, Julio Sanchez, and I'm like, at a certain point you get like, it gets so run, you get tired of talking about it. And I am rapidly approaching that point where I'm tired of talking about the Super Bowl. Let's just, you know, 53 guys on these two sidelines, strap it up and let's get to it. Ready to go for this Super Bowl down in New Orleans Sunday at 5:30 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. The renewal of a game we saw 2 years ago in Super Bowl 57 that saw the Chiefs win it 38-35. And I'm sure we all are hoping for a similar result this time around. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Blake Schneiders is my producer for tonight's show. He's all dressed up head to toe in his Chiefs garb. I can appreciate that. I did not get that memo. Admittedly, I am wearing no Chiefs gear whatsoever. That is on me. I apologize for my actions and not wearing Chiefs gear today, but that's what we're going to be talking about for the majority of the show tonight. Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. We don't have any guests lined up, so feel free to send us a message on our text line, 913-586-7965, or you can give us a call at that same number. We'll be happy to chat with you guys throughout the show tonight. On top of the fact that we've got the Super Bowl to discuss, the NFL honors was yesterday, so we'll kind of recap that one a little bit. Made some predictions and prognostications on those awards last night, and we'll kind of run down, you know, my reaction to who got the award, who I thought maybe should have gotten the award in some cases, as well as the Hall of Fame inductions yesterday. I have to say, I was a little bit surprised by some of the names who were inducted into this year's Hall of Fame and some of the names who were left off of this year's Hall of Fame list. A couple of former Kansas City Chiefs players have come out and said, you know, expressed their support for the Chiefs, including one who may be having some FOMO, a little bit of fear of missing out, maybe a little bit of regret over how his situation in Kansas City ultimately came to an end. So we'll be discussing all of that throughout the course of the show tonight. We've got big time college basketball involving all three regional teams, with KU and K-State battling it out tomorrow afternoon in Manhattan, and Mizzou hosting a top 10 team at Mizzou Arena in Columbia tomorrow afternoon as well. But let's kick things off, as we should, with Super Bowl 59, Chiefs Eagles. It's only 2 days away. You know, we're all seemingly at the point now where we are tired of talking about it. We're tired of hearing about it. We just want to see it happen. And this is a game that is incredibly, incredibly intriguing on so many different levels, right? For the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the possibility of the three-peat, which we've talked about. For the Philadelphia Eagles, you've got guys on that team that have already won one, right? Such as Lane Johnson and some of the other players on that team, but not many from that team that won it 5, 6, 7 years ago. But you look at it from the perspective of there's some guys that could have huge legacy-defining sort of games if they were to win on Sunday, right? Saquon Barkley would get his first Super Bowl ring. Jalen Hurts gets his first Super Bowl ring. The A.J. Brown gets his first Super Bowl ring. The list goes on and on. I have to say, and we'll talk more about this as we go along, and towards the end of our show, we'll make some predictions and kind of run down why we think the game will end a certain way. But I have to say, I think that there is a wealth of experience on this Chiefs team that surprisingly doesn't exist with the Philadelphia Eagles, especially on the defensive side of the football. And I think that that could pay big dividends for the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward. At the end of the day, though, I think that this is going to be a phenomenal game to watch in the Super Bowl. They generally have been. If the Kansas City Chiefs have been involved, they've been tightly contested games. They've been high scoring games for the most part. Outside of the one of which we do not speak, we all forget that one happened. We just erased it, Men in Black, you know, from our minds. But man, I gotta say, Blake, this looks like a game that's going to be a lot of fun to watch tomorrow on Sunday night.
Yeah, honestly, I think this is. It's funny, as a Chiefs fan, you want to go to. We've been to all these Super Bowls, and yet we play in the same teams every time. Chiefs versus 49ers, Chiefs versus Eagles, Chiefs versus 49ers again. Now it's Chiefs versus Eagles again. But I will unequivocally say, this is the best the Eagles team has been, or maybe the best team that I think we faced, or the Chiefs have faced, in any of these Super Bowls. This could be the absolute top team, knockout team that they've played. I mean, the first 49ers team was very good, but they had, I think, a little underrepresentation in Garoppolo at quarterback. Everybody else around them was tip-top. Then, obviously, you played Jalen Hurts' team, the Eagles the next time. Good team. Didn't have all the pieces they needed. Last year, 49ers, they replaced Garoppolo, had Brock Purdy. They just couldn't still get it done. But now at every single position, you have Jalen Hurts. You've got Saquon Barkley, the best running back in the league. You got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. I mean, their defense is number one in the league. So this is really a battle of the Titans. This is what everybody wants in a Super Bowl. The best team in the AFC versus the best team in the NFC. You couldn't have gotten a better matchup.
I agree. I think that this Eagles team is the best constructed roster in the NFL this year, right? And due to that, they get to the Super Bowl. I thought last year the 49ers had the most talented roster in the National Football League. It just, at certain times, certain players rise to the occasion, right? Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. He is Brady. He is Jordan. He is Tiger on Sunday wearing his red, right? Where he just seems to turn it on in the moment when his team or he individually needs it the most. And it's special to watch, especially when you look across that team and you see other guys that can do that also, right? Trent McDuffie in the Super Bowl last year, when it mattered the most, he made two of the biggest plays of the game, right? He bats that pass away and towards the end zone there to stop a drive. He gets the late pressure on a delayed blitz from his slot corner spot, gets the pressure on Purdy to force an incomplete pass. That's special to the nth degree. What Travis Kelce can do in games, finding those little spots on the field, making guys miss. I don't know how he does it. I mean, he is fascinating to me. He's like if Nikola Jokic played tight end in the National Football League at this point in his career, right? I mean, he doesn't wow you physically, like with his athleticism, at least the way you watch him on the field. But he is so incredibly intelligent, and he knows, he just has an ability to read and diagnose guys and see, okay, this is where his momentum is taking him. I'm going to do this, right? A little juke move to the right, or I'm going to spin off and go back towards the line of scrimmage, or spin away and go the other direction. He's just so good at that sort of stuff, and he can do that in the biggest moments of the game.
I think that's why that Jason always calls him the polar bear, obviously because he's a 6'5 white, but also because if you ever see the National Geographic or Life TV about the polar bears, it always looks like they're just hanging out, floating on icebergs, drinking a Coke maybe. But if you ever see a polar bear attack something, when they actually decide to get up and do it, it's vicious. And that's like Travis Kelce in the playoffs. All year he makes plays when he needs to. And as he's gotten older, obviously that's expected to happen. But when it comes playoff time, he's turned up to 11 every single game. And that's why he rivals only Jerry Rice as a performer in the postseason.
It's extraordinary. And some of the numbers that he has an opportunity to put on is he's 23 yards away from becoming the second leading receiver in Super Bowl history. He needs 3 catches to surpass Jerry Rice for the most catches by an individual player in the history of the Super Bowl. That's the sort of stuff that we're talking about, right? For the legacy of what this game could mean. And from a numbers standpoint, obviously there's some things to be said for that, right? Pat wins this game. He's got his 18th playoff win in 7 seasons as a starter, which puts him even further away from Joe Montana, who's now second all time with 16. He would get his 4th Super Bowl ring. And the list of NFL players with 4 Super Bowl rings, I'm not just talking about quarterbacks. I'm talking about NFL players with the most Super Bowl rings. It is not a long list by any stretch of the imagination, right? I mean, there's a few guys that have a few, right? Of course, Brady's got 7. There's a few guys that have 6, but a lot of those also count with the pre-Super Bowl era, so that's a different one. For Joe Tooney, this would be his 5th, which is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you become the first team in the history of the National Football League to win 3 consecutive Super Bowls, right? Not 3 consecutive titles in the NFL, because, of course, there's going to be some random Packers fan in the text line who wants to mention that they won a Super Bowl, or they won an NFL title in the last year before the Super Bowl, and then they won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Or the Browns, who like had 10 AFL championships but never a Super Bowl.
Right. We're talking about the Super Bowl. It would be pretty extraordinary, to say the least. Taking a look at our text line, 913-586-7965. We'll be sure to read these messages throughout the show tonight. Somebody has said, if the Chiefs could only build 1 statue, would you do Mahomes or Andy Reid, or do a statue with both of them on it? I think if you could only choose one, you put both of them on there, because you can't really have one without the other. I mean, they are so incredibly intertwined with one another, right? It's Michael Jordan with Phil Jackson. It's Brady with Belichick, although Brady went and won one without Belichick. So give him some credit for that. But there's just certain coach player combos that you like, right? Kobe and Phil Jackson is another one, right? Bill Russell and Red Auerbach. They're just so connected with one another, where it's hard to mention one without mentioning the other in the same breath, because they themselves are such a big part of the winning, but the pairing they have with the other is the biggest catalyst for why the Chiefs are in the position that they're in now, and why all of those other greats got to where they ended up as well.
No, I mean, you're 100% right. I would choose a double statue, because you can't, like you said, you cannot separate the two. And if you build one of one, it's almost a little shade towards the other, that you're not, you know, kind of immortalizing them as well in front of the stadium that they built together, the franchise, the legacy that they built together. You can't have one without the other. It's like eggs and bacon.
No question about it. An 816 in the text line says, we're heading to get Chinese food. Go Chiefs. All right. Go Chiefs. Right. Love it. Friday night Chinese food. I respect the hell out of that.
Can't go wrong with that, man.
Another person says, the big game, Chiefs will be up 35-25 over the Eagles. 4th quarter, Pat's got the ball, 4:32 to go. Keeps getting first downs, and the only thing the Eagles can do is watch as the time runs out. Go Chiefs. The specificity behind that prediction is immaculate. I have to give a tremendous amount of respect. That person has thought this thing through. This is not something that was thrown together in a matter of minutes.
Now, they simulated this in Madden at least 3 times.
Somebody has taken a long stretch of time here. Somebody was sitting up one of the, right? You couldn't sleep one night this week. Somebody was tossing and turning. The insomnia was turned up to 10, and you were just thinking about the way this game could go, and that's what you came up with. 913 says, tell Blake he better put some respect on Jimmy G.
Yeah, all right. No, I won't.
I don't think you need to.
I respect him as an athlete. I don't respect him as a great player. So, you know, good athlete. Good athlete.
I mean, he was the biggest reason why the Niners couldn't hold on to that lead in the Super Bowl. I mean, that and the fact that Patrick Mahomes was on the other side.
You connect on that post, Jimmy G, you got yourself a Super Bowl, but guess what? You didn't.
That's a fair point. 660 says, that Tampa Bay team was better than the Eagles team. Would you agree? I know that you think that this year's Eagles team is better. I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean,
I think the defense was comparable for sure. It's the offense that I don't think was better than what the Eagles are putting out right now. They didn't have the same run game.
I agree.
They
had
a better quarterback.
They had what, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. Yeah, who was sort of Leonard Fournette had, like, when he was in Jacksonville, he looked phenomenal, and then he goes to Tampa and just disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Similarly to Ronald Jones.
Less
to some
weapons
extent.
On that Tampa offense.
Yeah. I mean, you had Evans, you had Godwin, and I think
Gronk.
Yeah, Gronk was absolutely solid. Better tight end, I think, than Goddard has been for the Eagles, especially because Goddard just hasn't been healthy. Yeah. I mean, and I think that
it's a good argument to have.
It's a solid comparison, I would say.
That defense was on par. I mean, that D line that they had, that Tampa had in 21 was nasty.
It was phenomenal. Yeah, 2021.
And I would say they single-handedly won that game.
I would agree. I would agree because they ran the ball effectively. They kept possession of the football, right? I went back and watched highlights of that game. I'm not sure Tom Brady threw four passes more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. I mean, it was quick outs and slants and screens and swing passes. I mean, it was quickly getting rid of the football. Basically just an extension of the run game for four quarters, and the defense made life miserable for Pat. Hence the reason why we now have Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. So to some extent, we can give a great deal of credit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that 2020-2021 season and that Super Bowl for why the Chiefs are where they're at now, because a lot of changes had to be made during that period. We'll continue to take a look at our text line. It is blowing up right now. I absolutely love it. Please continue to send us messages, 913-586-7965. We're going to keep talking about this Super Bowl as we all just wait. I hate it. I hate the waiting game of it, right? Like, as a fan, the anxiety is already building in my I was able to contain it for about 2 or 3 days here, but like late Wednesday night into Thursday morning was when, like, every time I started to think about what was coming up on Sunday, I started to get a little bit more anxious, just ready for it to get here and what it could possibly mean for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and the legacy of this organization in the future. So we'll keep talking about that on the other side of the break here. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber here with you. Blake Schneider's producing tonight's show. We're with you till 9 o'clock on your home for Kansas City sports. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I can sense the anxiousness rising. I think between you and I, Blake, obviously. But even in the text line, like, our listeners, they're getting after it right now, sending us a lot of messages to talk about here on the program tonight. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber joined by Blake Schneiders. We're with you till 9 o'clock. Our text line, 913-586-7965. Somebody said, Travis Kelce is the fastest slow guy I've ever seen. Yeah, in 2013, when he was coming out of college at Cincinnati and during the NFL Combine, he ran a 4.61. Something tells me that he's probably about a half second slower on that 40 nowadays. I mean, maybe a five flat 40 at this point. But what makes him special is what he's been able to do with himself as his athleticism begins to, I don't want to say deteriorate, but that's kind of to the extent of where we see it now. He's not the same caliber of athlete that he was, but he's been able to modify his play in such a way that he still exhibits an incredible amount of efficacy when he's out on the field, right? His ability to find open space in zone, to read and diagnose, okay, is this zone, is this man, pre-snap, which is, I mean, that's an incredible thing for a pass catcher to do. Typically, that's a job reserved for a quarterback, maybe a center or a really good left tackle, right? A guy who's the kind of the leader of that offensive line to determine that sort of thing. But for him to do that as a tight end, whether he's got, you know, out on the line with his hand in the dirt or he's split out in a slot receiver position or out at the Y, that's incredible. And that's what's made him so special. The chemistry and connection that he's got with Pat, of course, absolutely helps with that sort of thing. 816 in the text line says Brady was 35 when he got his 17th playoff win. Montana was 38 when he reached 16. Yeah. I mean, the trajectory that Pat's on is ridiculous. And, you know, I was watching coverage of the game, you know, coverage of people talking about the upcoming Super Bowl on Sunday. And I can't remember who it was, and I apologize. Somebody in the text line is going to let me know. But they were trying to find a comparison for what Pat's done so far in his career and what the comparison will be if he accomplishes this three-peat. And somebody said, you know, we might have to go outside of football, go to different sports. He said we might have to go to different species, like Secretariat. This man's being compared to horses now, and they're, you know, how dominant they were in horse racing. That's the level of special that Patrick Mahomes has been through the first 7 years he's been a starter here in Kansas City. It's mind-boggling to think about as a Chiefs fan, considering all the turmoil and the hard-fought labor and the rough nights and the Sundays and Sunday nights and Monday nights when you were slightly embarrassed to be a Chiefs fan, right? 2012, when people were wearing brown paper bags to Arrowhead, and to be where we're at now is mind-boggling.
We went through, as a fan base, the Tyler Palcos, the Thigpens, the Brody Croyles, the Damon Hewards, the, you know, Castles. You know, I'm not saying he was terrible, but just we went through all that to get to the pinnacle of where Chiefs Kingdom is at now, and I don't think you can look back on that and appreciate what they have now if you weren't at least going through that or have any knowledge of that.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I thought about this the other day. There are legitimately second grade children walking around their schools in the metro that have never experienced the Chiefs not going to at least an AFC championship game.
Wild. That is wild.
Second graders. There are 7 and 8 year old children who have never seen or never been alive for a Chiefs season that didn't at least get to the final four, so to speak, of the National Football League. Excuse me? That's insane.
Spoiled.
Absolutely spoiled. Absolutely spoiled. Another 918 says, ask Max Dog. Was that meant to say Max Dog or Mad Dog?
Even Mad Dog.
How Lombardi would beat Andy Reid today, no chance. Yeah, I know that Carrington and Rob had Mad Dog Russo on earlier today, and I'm sure he said something absolutely outlandish. Someone said Andy would scheme circles around Lombardi. The sweep was their best play. I mean, that was the NFL 60 years ago. So, I mean, to compare eras is kind of hard.
They're still running wing T then.
Yeah, man, everything was under center in those days, right? I mean, the quarterback was also the punter and the place kicker and might have played DB. I don't know, right? I mean, it was a two-way league in those days, and guys were playing football for 5 months out of the year and then went and actually
worked at the steel mill.
Yeah, they actually had their full-time jobs that paid the bulk of their salary and fed their families. So it's a different day and age we live in nowadays. Another person says they were heading to McDonald's. Also not a bad choice. Have a Big Mac for us here at 96.5 The Fan. One person, Nate 913 says, what's up, dudes? I live in Denver, and the amount of death glares I've gotten running errands in my Kelsey jersey will sustain me for years. Three-peat, baby. I salute you, soldier. You go right on ahead. You continue to dig your heels in and make the Broncos faithful seethe at the fact that the Chiefs are successful. I love it.
Fight the good fight in enemy territory, behind enemy lines.
I absolutely applaud you. I applaud you, sir. Tell the sea of red to cheer loud and proud for the Chiefs, no matter if we are up by 17 or down by 10 at halftime. It's all about the second half adjustments and the final 3 minutes and 33 seconds of the game. I'll find y'all at the local postgame party. That one from Barbershop. Appreciate you. Barbershop 59, baby. I won't be at the postgame, unfortunately, Barbershop. I got to be here. I'm hosting postgame, extended postgame coverage of the Super Bowl, which, you know.
Congratulations, by the way.
It's a good honor to have, right? It's unfortunate that I'm going to be up till 2 o'clock in the morning, but oh no, I have to talk about the Chiefs for 3 hours and get paid to do it.
Oh, darn. Logan, you're going to be so jacked up with electricity.
Oh,
it don't
man,
even matter.
I'm not going to be able to sleep anyway. It's absolutely insane. Person said Mad Dog said that Andy was the fifth best coach now or the fifth best coach in NFL history. First of all, both of those are wrong. I just want to clarify how wrong he is. Because to say he's the fifth best coach in the NFL now, he needs to have a mic taken away from him. To say he's the fifth best coach ever is also wrong, but it's less wrong, right? It's not so egregious that he should be shame walked through the streets of New York for it.
That's a forgivable opinion, at least if he's talking all the time. Like, okay, you might have a favorite that you like that you added in that maybe didn't really deserve it, but you know, he's up there in the conversation. Fifth currently?
Fifth currently is
smoking.
That's preposterous. Yeah, I mean, that is levels of drug use that need to be studied by scientists across the world. Yeah, I mean, CBS Sports had an article last January. So that was prior to this last Super Bowl win for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, this Super Bowl run, who put together a list of the 10 best coaches in NFL history. And this top 10 list did not include Andy Reid. It had Bill Belichick at 1, Vince Lombardi 2. It had Don Shula 3, George Halas 4, Paul Brown 5, Chuck Knoll at 6, Bill Walsh 7, Tom Landry at 8, Joe Gibbs 9, and Curly Lambeau at 10.
Old Curly. I disagree with that. But
Brian DiArdo of CBS Sports, I would like to know what your list looks like now, because that list was bad a year ago. I would put Andy top three of all time in terms of head coaches. I mean, Belichick at 1, I don't think that that's an argument to be made. If you want to put Lombardi at 2, okay, I get it, right? I disagree. It's just hard because he coached a game 60 years ago that was much more simplified, much more predicated on the run game. You didn't have the creativity with scheming and play calling and game planning that you have nowadays, right? The technology was incredibly limited.
It's almost like the same argument you always hear with, well, the greatest basketball player, Michael Jordan. Yeah, well, he's got 6 rings. Well, Bill Russell's got 11, but nobody gives Bill the credit, even though, well, the game was different back then. I get it. So it's like, are you using that kind of argument still? Because I get it if that's the case. He was the best for his time, but are we really saying he's the best coach ever? Does that hold weight?
It's hard, man. And I think a lot of it is because of the namesake of the Super Bowl trophy, I mean, says Lombardi, and that carries a lot of weight. I mean, think about this. When Vince Lombardi was coaching the Green Bay Packers, the VCR was the premier technology to watch something that wasn't live, right? Like, DVD didn't exist, let alone Blu-ray, let alone the streaming that we have nowadays, right? I mean, the internet was not a thing. I mean, that was the premier, preeminent technology of the era. So to say... Yeah, for him to say that Andy's the fifth best coach in NFL history, I have to say I strongly disagree.
Well, and Lombardi also only coached for about 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in those 10 years,
was he dominant,
incredibly successful? Absolutely, he was incredibly successful. I just don't know if I can agree with it, right? He won 2 Super Bowls, he won 5 NFL championships. That's pretty astonishing, right? To be the general manager and head coach of the Green Bay Packers from 1959 to 67, and you won 7 championships in about, 9 years there. That's pretty incredible. And I think that the sustained success that Andy's had sways things. I think that his creativity and the genius that is Andy Reid to some extent.
And the higher competition level.
Yeah.
You had less teams back then to play against.
Oh, no question about it.
So, I mean, you play the same 10, 12 teams. You know, now you're up to, I mean, there was more than that, but you get what I'm saying. Now you have 31 other teams that you have to scheme against year in and year out.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said the VCR didn't exist with Vince Lombardi. Technically, it did. The VCR was invented in 1956. It was expensive. And, you know, only specific people had it. It didn't become a popular sort of like every home thing until like the early part of the 70s. But it did exist to some extent. I just want to clarify
that. It's
like
the computer. The internet really didn't happen until like the 90s, but the computer was around in the 60s.
Right. And so maybe
technically 1940s.
Maybe an organization like the Green Bay Packers had it. Probably not. They were probably just running it off of, you know, film.
Reel to reel.
Yeah, reel to reel, you know, with the big, you know, prompter or whatever that they were doing. Yeah, VCR would be more like the 70s through the 90s. I know that was when it was most popular, all right? I am one of those last few generations of children that had a VCR. I used a VHS tape. I know how to rewind, fast forward, play, and stop. I know how to record over a VHS tape. Now, I've got a younger brother who was born in 2000 and a younger sister who was born in 2003 that have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, right? By the time my sister was able to, like, play movies and TV shows by herself, Blu-ray was a thing. So,
Did they have Walkmans?
No. No. I mean, I didn't even have a Walkman. But, I mean, like, I had a CD player, like a portable CD player. That was the first thing.
I'm sorry. I guess that is what I'm going for. Original Walkman.
I had a portable CD player that, you know, anybody who ever had a portable CD player and you were in the car or you were on the bus and you hit a bump, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because the disc would skip or whatever, right? I was about 8 or 9 when I got my first MP3 player that had the USB drive that you could plug into the computer. I will admit, because I think the statute of limitations has passed, big LimeWire user right here. I was a big LimeWire guy, admittedly. Not a bad thing, right? But yeah, it's wild to think. Yeah, somebody says, you know, that's just how big the gap is. Like, that's insane that we went from the VCR from, you know, the time it was invented in 1956 to when it became popular in the 70s. That was like the thing to use for about a 20 year stretch there. And then all of a sudden it died and it was DVDs. It was, you know, CD-ROM. And then it became Blu-ray discs. And then it became satellite television, and now it's streaming. Like, the technology influx that occurred post VHS, which dominated everything for years and years and years.
I don't even buy games for my game console anymore, because I can just do it all online.
Exactly. I just buy it directly off of the store that is on my console. I don't know the last time I actually bought like a hard copy of something. It's insanity. All right, that devolved into a technology conversation somehow, and we ran really long on that segment. So we're going to take a break here. We'll come back very shortly, and then we'll come back one more time here at the end of hour one. We're going to continue to talk Super Bowl, continue to answer your questions, 913-586-7965, talking Super Bowl. We're going to talk the NFL honors, the Hall of Fame presentation, and everything in between. We're trying to break it up a little bit. You know, we're going to talk technology, food, break up the monotony a little bit, maybe take everybody's minds away from the game, alleviate the anxiety just a little bit. With you till 9 o'clock here on After Hours. Logan Weber joined by Blake Schneiders here on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, man. Somebody said, thanks for the text, reading the text on air that kicked my kid's head over it. They're superstars now. You better believe it. I love that about, you know, this sort of thing. I'm married. My wife and I have been married for close to a year and a half now. We've been together for 10 years, but she is the baby in her family. Her older brother has a couple of kids, and my mother-in-law is she's an early childhood educator, and my nephew goes to the school that she works at, and so she drives them home from school every day, my niece and my nephew. And she would tune in, you know, turn on the show that I hosted in Springfield all the time. And he used to get so mad because he would try to talk to me through the radio, and he could never understand. He's 5. So, like, he could never understand why I couldn't hear him and why I wasn't talking back to him. He used to get so mad at me. He's like, Logan, I hear you on sports talk and I talk to you. Why don't you answer me? Like, well, buddy, because I can't hear you. Like, that's not how the technology works. I mean, I love that. That's so cool. So I appreciate the fact that your kids are getting a kick out of it. That one's fun. Somebody said, Andy Reid isn't losing to a coach who was on the chopping block earlier in the year. Granted, this is a different Eagles team, but Andy is too good. I mean, the coaching matchup certainly favors the Kansas City Chiefs, right? I mean, I think in all three phases, Kellen Morse had a great year as the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. He got some head coaching opportunities. Nothing really came of it. But I think the combination of Andy and Spags and Matt Nagy in comparison to what the Eagles have got with Kellen Moore as their OC and Fangio as their defensive coordinator, who, as great a defensive coordinator as he is, right? One of the best defensive minds in this era of the National Football League. Did you know this man is 0-8?
0-8.
Against Patrick Mahomes?
Sirianni losing record versus Andy.
Yeah.
Fangio losing record versus Andy.
Sirianni, he is a controversial figure as a head coach, right? I mean, I think the Eagles faithful, they've loved him, and then they hated him, and then they hated him so much they wanted him fired, and now they love him again. Typical Phillies, fair weather fans.
I was going to say, that is Philly to a T.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, they will turn on you on a dime in Philadelphia, no question about it. And, of course, we all remember how things went. You know, last season after they beat them in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they came to Kansas City, beat the Chiefs, and then, how about that, Chiefs fans? And then they lost like 8 of their last 10 games. That's what you get. So there's going to be some animosity built up, I think, in this game that's going to be fun. 913 in the text line says, evening, fellas. What up? Appreciate you tuning in to listen to us here tonight on this edition of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber joined by Blake Schneiders. Can you imagine what we'll hear if Mahomes pulls a questionable roughing the passer or something along those lines? Yeah, Elon Musk's Twitter might shut down. I think all of our phones collectively might internally combust. People are going to be texting and tweeting with incredibly fast thumbs.
Their fingers will be on fire.
Yeah, people are going to be...
As well as their hearts with rage.
People are going to be rather upset. Rather upset. 913 in the text line says, to the guy who predicted a score of 35-25, I wouldn't want to be in a prize pool where my blocks were at 5-5. That's called a donation. Yeah, 35-25 in an NFL game is tough. When the game is scored by ones, threes, sixes, and sevens, it's tough. I mean, 35 makes sense, right? It's five touchdowns. But how do you get to 25? That's a tough one. Like, mathematically, is that... Three touchdowns.
That's a two-point conversion plus
right,
a field
plus
goal.
Plus a field goal thrown in.
Three touchdowns.
There's a lot of things that have to happen there to make that work. And why, where's the justification? Like, where's the two-point conversion coming from?
Who's getting the octopus is the real question.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's got to get. I mean, you got to get one at 35-25, I would imagine. I don't know. That 25 seems like a tough one. I've got a score in mind for my thought process for this game. But... I think that it's going to be interesting. It's fascinating to see how this one turns out. We're going to give some predictions, prognostications a little bit later on in the show tonight. We're going to take a break here, come back very briefly for the end of hour one. Somebody said, but I thought all of X was boycotting the game. I can respect you for calling it X. I refuse. It'll be Twitter until the day Twitter no longer exists. Sorry. It's just, that's the way I am. I struggle mightily with calling it the T-Mobile Center. Like, growing up here, it's been the Sprint Center my entire life. To call it something different feels like I'm going against my upbringing. So I don't know. I can't call it X. I just can't do it. There's just nothing. It doesn't roll off the tongue the way that Twitter did. What, I'm going to X on X? No, you tweet on
about
Twitter.
About to get to X and...
I don't like it. I don't like it in any stretch of the imagination. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber hosting tonight's program. Bleak Schneiders is my producer. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. Feel free to continue to send us messages. 913-586-7965. This is 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
What a wild first hour on this Friday. Talked Super Bowl. We talked VCRs. We had a LimeWire mention in the first hour. Someone said LimeWire, the response, I'm trying to find it. LimeWire pulled me out of some deep times. Yeah, man. LimeWire was it, dude. LimeWire, that's where you went to get music. I remember downloading ringtones off of LimeWire, right? Most of the time, though, with your ring, you just pull up like a YouTube video of a song, and then you just put your phone, you just press record on your phone and put it as close to the computer mic or computer speaker as you could, and that's how you recorded it.
I will say, I don't think I ever actually had a ringtone. Everybody, all my friends did. I just never got one.
Oh, man.
I never paid for them.
I never paid for it either. I would just like record it and like put it next to the speaker on my desktop computer and record. And then it sounded like it was coming out of a tin can. It sounded horrendous. Back when you could put signatures on your text messages. Did you ever do that, Blake?
Oh, yeah.
Like when you were in junior high and you had a girlfriend and she like made you put her name or something as your signature on your phone or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I never had a girlfriend, so. But thanks for rubbing that one in.
That was unintentional. I didn't mean to put you in that spot, but
I did. She just always went to a different school, you know?
I get you. I get what you're saying. Yeah. She lives in, you know, wherever. She lives in a different state.
She lives on the Missouri side. You guys don't know her.
Yeah, man. It is what it is. Oh, you grew up on the Kansas side?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I respect that. I grew up on the Missouri side, so it was probably vice versa for us, right? Oh, she lives over on the Kansas side.
Yeah.
I met her at summer camp or whatever, right? Whatever the phrase was that you used back pre-internet where it was like, okay, I'm just going to...
I'll just trust them, I guess.
Yeah, I'll search it on Facebook and see just how full of it you are. Oh, that's hysterical. Why is it that most stations and shows do not refer to the Super Bowl as the Super Bowl? It seems as though everyone calls it the big game. Is there some sort of copyright on the name preventing stations from using it? Yes. That is exactly why. So the NFL, the National Football League, owns the federal copyright to the phrase Super Bowl, right? Similarly, like Pat Riley owns the copyright to the phrase three-peat. So the Chiefs needed permission from Pat Riley and, of course, you know, a certain amount of the proceeds or the profits from it in order to be able to use that phrase. So for you or a company, a business running advertising, whatever it might be, to use the phrase Super Bowl, you either have to be partnered with the NFL or you need express permission from the NFL, which probably includes some sort of monetary agreement, in order to use the term Super Bowl. If you don't have that, you legally cannot use the words Super Bowl in your commercials or advertising. Sometimes people do it because they just don't want to pay what the NFL is asking for those sort of things. They can't afford it, or they're not partnered with the NFL. So, yes, there is a copyright that prevents stations or businesses from using the term Super Bowl because you don't have permission or you haven't paid the NFL for permission to use it. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. Somebody said it will always be Twitter. Yes, it will. Another person said, an 816 saying, CDOT wouldn't say it. Am I going to get any props from you guys for guaranteeing that Eli wouldn't get in? I'll give you props. I agreed with you that Eli should not have gotten into the Hall of Fame last night. He didn't. He may get in at some point, but I was not of the belief that he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. I said yesterday that I have watched. I watched the Giants play. My cousin, you know, played for the New York Giants from 2007 to 2012, 2013. So I watched a big bulk of Eli Manning's career with the New York Giants, and I watched the two Super Bowl runs. So I watched him on a week-by-week basis. I can say definitively from my view, having watched him every Sunday or Monday for 7 years, He's not a Hall of Fame level talent in my mind. Yes, he won two Super Bowls, put him in the Hall of Fame because he prevented Tom Brady from winning 9 rings. Instead, he's only got 7, right? But if you're going to do that, put Nick Foles in the damn Hall of Fame because he beat him in a Super Bowl. If that's what we're doing now, it's just I guess Manning beat him twice. So give him a little bit of credit. We got a lot more to talk about here on tonight's program, including the NFL honors, who won awards last night, who got into the Hall of Fame last night or will be enshrined in the Hall of Fame a little bit later on. A sad story surrounding the Kansas City Chiefs down in New Orleans, a reporter covering the Super Bowl tragically losing his life. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that coming up in hour number two as well. We may also discuss the fact that LeBron James is seemingly not human. If you didn't have a chance to see it last night, I urge you go on ESPN right now and look at his box score because it was unbelievable. We'll talk about that coming up here in hour number two of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber joined by Blake Schneiders. This is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.